Today I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. This will bring to a close some of Paul's thoughts about the specific subject that he's been dealing with over the last two chapters, that of Christian charity. It's not divorced from other subjects, but there is a conclusion to this particular matter that he brings to this in this passage. Please listen as I read 2 Corinthians 9, starting with verse 10. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I have soccer on the mind recently. Some of you know that I am coaching one of the soccer teams that the YMCA is sponsoring this summer. We have another coach here and several other teams represented. My team is called the Jelly Beans, by the way, and the Jelly Beans have been working hard to learn the game of soccer, and they have made some good progress over the last several weeks. And the Jelly Beans played pretty well yesterday. They understood something about the game when I saw them clear the ball out away from the goal over to one of the defenders along the sideline and then pass it down to one of the wingers that was breaking down towards the goal. And then that winger passed it over in front of the goal where one of the other Jelly Beans was waiting for the pass. They understood something about the game and it all came together and worked really well. And you could see in their faces the excitement as it all finally started to click. And they were excited by that process. And I was excited. I was cheering and congratulating them as they were doing that. And the crowd was excited as that happened. As I read and as I look at the work of Christian charity, I see a coming together of God's plan and purpose in a way where there is excitement and joy that is not just because of the act itself of Christian charity. To compare it to soccer, it's not just because a goal is scored. But like a soccer game, Christian charity exists in a stadium, as it were. It exists in an environment where there is glory that comes and glory that spills out to the crowd even. Glory that's given to God because of Christian charity. In this passage, I want you to see this very important teaching. That Christian charity reaches further than the object of charity. God gets glory through Christian charity. Christian charity reaches further than the object of charity because God is glorified. There are three ways that this passage especially underlines that glory comes. First of all, in the act itself. Second, because it is a cause for rejoicing, a cause for thanksgiving. And thirdly, as it draws the body of Christ together. Charity brings glory to God in the act itself. Paul has just said and has compared charity to the sowing of seeds, the planting of seeds, and has said that God is able to supply the cheerful giver so that he may liberally plant seeds, and as he plants, he will have enough to do that good work. In fact, he compares it to sowing, so that those he can say that those who sow generously will reap generously, and conversely, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. That prompts Paul to pray for the Corinthians. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seeds you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Paul prays according to what he's just taught. He prays according to the promise of God, that the Lord would supply what is necessary, that he would even multiply the seed that they are sowing in their acts of generosity and increase their charity and their righteousness. It's a prayer that prompts Paul to think of the far-reaching effects of Christian charity. And it evokes in Paul an outpouring of glorious praise to God for that. And he brings this instruction about charity to a close by bringing it to a high note of praise. He draws your attention to the fact that charity is done to the glory of God alone. That God is glorified, first of all, in the act itself. God certainly gets glory just by the act. When there is obedience, when we do good out of gratitude for what God has done for us, then God is honored. God is glorified when we've grasped the richness of mercy that Christ has shown to us, that he who was rich became poor for us, so that we might know the riches of God in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in chapter 8 as one of the foundational aspects of our Christian charity is that we have come to grips of what Jesus has done for us. And as we come to grips with that and we practice Christian charity, God is honored. He is glorified in the act itself. Paul also taught earlier that Christian obedience grows up out of a heart that is set free from sin and united to Christ by faith. And the Corinthians followed through with their commitment. And in this passage, Paul calls it a proof of their ministry and an obedience of their confession to the gospel of Christ. It demonstrates their faith in God. It demonstrates that they have grasped the grace that the Lord has given them in substantial, practical ways so that they, in turn, can be graceful and merciful to those around them. By Paul's prayer, we are reminded that true Christian faith brings forth fruit. It brings forth the fruit of obedience to a new master, the fruit of being subject to the Lord and His law, the fruit of Christian charity. As Paul draws this teaching to the close, he wants you to remember that our charity is an act of worship. It's a mark of our Christian faith. Because of that, it gives glory to God. As we worship the Lord in our charity, God is glorified. We reflect His own character in doing so. There's more glory that the Lord receives as well. Secondly, there is glory that God receives because it is a cause for thanksgiving. Paul says that the gift not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So think of the example that I gave of the soccer, where the play comes together just like the coach has drawn up. The ball is cleared and passed to the winger. It goes downfield and is then shot across the goal where someone is there ready to tip it in. And the team, those who have put that into practice, rejoice when that happens. Did you ever see a soccer team score a goal and then turn around and march back to the middle of the field to get ready for the kickoff again? Well, we accomplished that. We finished it. Let's get on to the next. No, that's not what happens. They're jumping and shouting because they scored a goal. Did you ever see a coach on the sideline? When the goal is scored, turn around and say, check, we accomplished that. Okay, next. Well, if you saw me yesterday, you would know that, no, I was yelling and screaming my head off as well. There were some parents that were yelling and screaming too, by the way. There's joy when it works, when it happens. Look at the verses here again. Paul says that the saints in Jerusalem glorify God. And this would be especially because of they're the recipients of the charity. So it's natural that they would say thank you to God and to the Corinthians for what God had supplied. They'd experience the deliverance that God had orchestrated through the hands of the Corinthians. And so the Jerusalem saints who were experiencing famine get this gift from the Corinthians and they go, oh well, very good, thank you, check that off. No. They're praising God. It's an occasion for thanksgiving. They're shouting, praise God for delivering us in this way. And Paul is on the sidelines, jumping up and down, much like a coach. And Paul, as a founding pastor for the Corinthian church, and his other missionaries say, we are witnessing God's grace in you, and it's been an occasion for us to give thanksgiving to God. In verse 11, Paul says, what you're doing causes thanksgiving through us to God. So like that coach on the sideline, Paul, who had boasted in the Corinthians in a good sense of the word, now can be satisfied and celebrate what the Corinthians are doing. They're demonstrating the fruit of righteousness. They're demonstrating their connection to Christ. And Paul can see see that instruction bearing fruit in the act, in the proof of their ministry and their confession of faith in word and deed. And he and his associates are on the sidelines praising God as they put that into practice. And then the crowd cheers as well. Paul says that the administration of the gift is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Paul had showed the Corinthians how God had used their charity as a means to stir up other Christians to do the same. In chapter 8, he had lifted up the Macedonians as another one that the Lord had demonstrated godly Christian charity, and how that had been a cause for stirring up others to do the same. And so Paul comes to the close on his thoughts on charity, and he can't help but see the bigger picture of how the church at large is prompted to glorify God as they see His hand in action. They can say, the church at large can say, look at what God is doing. God be praised for His mercy and grace through the Corinthians. So too, when we help someone else in the household of faith, the church at large is given the occasion to thank God and to glorify Him. We're given occasion as a community of faith to say together, look at the goodness of God to us. Look at the goodness of God through us. Praise God for what He is doing in His kingdom. As He turns people's hearts to help others. You've heard related about the Stillwater Life Services banquet, and I'll give that as an example of the rejoicing and celebration of what God is doing in the broader community of Christ. You can speak to those that were at the banquet, Dan and Stephanie Yost, or Sandra and Jack Kreider, as we had the opportunity to lay in front of the broader community here in Stillwater, the broader community of Christ, the vision of Stillwater Life Services, a mercy ministry that seeks to honor Christ by providing spiritual and physical help to men and women expecting babies. Throughout that evening, not only was the vision shared, but there were practical demonstrations of the fruit of that mercy ministry, that gospel ministry. And at the close of the meeting, we had the joy of meeting a family who had adopted a child that was directed through Stillwater Life Services to this adoptive family. They were beaming with joy. God had been good to them through the ministry of Stillwater Life Services to provide a child where they could not have one. And their attorney was beaming with joy. And the whole room was rejoicing, thanking God for the goodness that He was showing through that ministry. Just one small example of how the act itself is glorifying to God, and how it is an occasion for God to be lifted up, because we can say thanks to God, glory to God, for what He is doing in our midst. The third reason God is glorified is because the community of faith is given the occasion to be drawn closer together, closer to each other. If you look back at chapters 8 and 9, you'll notice a variety of ways where that broader body of Christ is drawn together by this act of mercy. In chapter 8, that community theme comes through as Paul mentions the Macedonians. Even the subject, let me back up just a little bit, the subject that has sparked this discussion is the very need in Jerusalem. There was a famine there. The churches of Asia Minor stepped forward to meet that need through their own charity. They were drawn into the need of the Jerusalem church by their giving. The Macedonians, as an example, gave out of the abundance of their joy in the midst of their poverty. And so were a blessing to the needs of their fellow Christians. Paul uses that example to stir up the Corinthians to finish what they've started. And he shows how the church has been interrelated, so that while the Corinthian church has the opportunity right now to provide for the needs of another, he reminds them that it may come a time when the tables are turned, where those that they have helped will in turn help the Corinthians. And then in chapter 9, Paul says that the Corinthians are prompted to give cheerfully, not grudgingly or out of necessity, that that God is honored by such a giving that embraces those who are receiving and draws them close, so that they feel the love of God through the arms of the broader church. And so Paul closes this chapter with a prayer for the Corinthians. He prays that the Corinthian church would continue in this work, that they would abound in it, that the Lord would supply their needs so that their work of charity would continue. And he also draws our attention to the prayers of the Jerusalem church. You'll notice that the Jerusalem church, who was receiving this charity, gives thanks to God, and they are prompted then to pray for the Corinthians. It's one of those really long Pauline sentences that runs from verse 12 through 15. But if you start in verse 12, you get the subject, that charity supplies the needs for the saints, but it also abounds through thanksgiving to God. How? Well, the saints glorify God for the confession of faith or for the act. And then they pray for you. Here's one of the ways that charity is abounding in thanksgiving to God, that the Jerusalem church is prompted to pray for the Corinthians. Paul says, it's the end of the sentence, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. The point is that the church in Corinth helped the church in Jerusalem. And in doing so, the church as a whole was drawn closer together. The concerns for the Corinthians were the Jerusalem church. And the Jerusalem church in recognizing the grace that they received through the Corinthians. The Jerusalem church showed their gratitude to God and to the Corinthians by praying for them. Overall, the Christian charity provoked mutual love, a mutual desire for each other. The end result being that the unity of the church brought glory to God. The unity of the church brought glory to God. I remind you that Jesus himself prayed for the unity of the church. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus prayed to the Father that his followers would know and express the same unity that he enjoyed as the Son with the Father. And Paul, elsewhere, teaches that the church as a whole is a body, with Jesus as its head. The single unit of the church universal enjoys a real unity based on our justification. And there's an outward unity that is admittedly scarred by the sins of division, but an outward unity that is promoted by Christian charity. And is God glorified as as the body is drawn together and as divisions cease? Yes, He is. Part of the hope that we have as Christians is that God would gain greater and greater glory by the visible unity of the church. That He would be bringing to an end the divisions that exist between denominations under the headship of Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word. We pray that God would be glorified in drawing His church close. And one means that He uses for that work is Christian charity. That's what makes Paul's allusion to Isaiah 55 so wonderful. Paul begins his prayer asking that He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, may He supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He is praying that their liberality, their charity would know the blessing of God. And he's praying that it would be a demonstration of that unity of love that the Christian church shares. That it would be a demonstration of their confession of faith that they rest in Him. What Isaiah 55 says is that the Lord is the one who supplies that. That He supplies it as surely as the rain that comes down supplies seed practically for the sower. And His promise is that His word will not return void. That it will accomplish the purpose for which He has designed it. And in Christian charity, we remember the spiritual and physical that go together. That the acts of Christian charity are a proclamation of the word of Jesus Christ. Charity brings together word and deed. And our confidence is that God will send it out with a purpose. And that He will accomplish His purpose. He will always accomplish His purpose. And so Paul prays, may God supply that seed. May God supply that liberal charity that He's been prompting so that God Himself would be glorified. He is glorified through the very act of Christian charity. I'd encourage you in closing that you would pray that God would cause you to excel in caring for each other. In the Christian life, we can grow in the exercise of these gifts. And I pray that we do, both as a congregation and as individuals. Very personally speaking, you can think through those in your in the congregation or in your household, in your community. Is there a brother or sister in need? You can ask, what practical help can you offer? God is glorified through thanksgiving that charity brings out. Have you been helped? Say thanks. We prompt our children to do this. God prompts us to do the same. To say thank you to God for the help that we've received through the hands of others. To say thank you to those individuals that have been a help to us. God is glorified by the giving of thanks to Him that is spawned by Christian charity. Thirdly, God is glorified because the church is drawn closer together. As you say thanks, remember and rejoice in the unity that you have with one another. We speak about the communion that we have. And in fact, we'll celebrate communion in our afternoon service. It's a communion that we have with God Himself that reflects the great good that we have through Jesus Christ. It is also a communion that we celebrate with one another. And so pray for the church. Pray for your brothers and sisters. You are drawn closer to them as you pray for them. On one level, that's what this passage is. It is a prayer, these verses. It's Paul's prayer for the Corinthians. It draws assurance from God who grants seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We remember that God is the one who provides our daily bread and supplies so that we are able to continue the work of mercy around us. We are led to remember our lives, our relationships, our charity are all done revolving around our Redeemer Jesus Christ and resting in His great power just demonstrated through us and in us. To Him be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen. I'll invite you to respond to the Lord by singing. I invite you to respond by giving God glory. Psalm 57, Selection B, will be our closing psalm, and it is a psalm that asks that the Lord would be exalted, that He would be exalted high. As we think about how God is glorified through the works of charity, it is our prayer that the Lord would get this type of glory. It's not just our prayer. In our worship, we are doing this. We are giving God glory. As you reflect on the Lord's goodness to you, and as you've received help, I pray that you would voice this praise and glorify God for what He has done. We'll sing Psalm 57b. Please stand to sing.